The 100 Marathon Club by Darren Smith. I don't do New Year's Eve. It is amateur night for me. Having lived for years three blocks away from Times Square and then right next to Tower Bridge on the Thames, it is the invasion of my space by drunkard hordes of the bridge and tunnel crowd. On a night when even my local pub is charging 50 quid for me to get in. It's a night of fireworks upsetting the family dog, of regretful clinches, and yet another year closer to the grave. I did, however, come up with New Year's resolutions each year, effectively a to-do list for the coming 12 months, and I love to-do lists. I used to do a lot of charity work as part of this, as one of my New Year's resolutions. One year I sponsored a whole orphanage in Oaxaca, in Mexico. Another year I gave time and money to a charity that looked after children in Africa and the poorest of Eastern Europe. And then, of course, there's the sponsorship of baby elephants orphaned by poachers via the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust. And, of course, dogs at Battersea and horse and donkey sanctuaries too. In 2007, while still living in Manhattan, I decided to do something for me one year. And so I came up with the idea of seeing my favourite works of art, wherever they are. And given they could have been at the Prado, or the Met, or the Frick, or the Guggenheim, or the MoMA, or the National Gallery, the Chicago Institute of Art, the Vatican, the Musée d'Orsay, or the Louvre, or the Rijksmuseum, well, this involves a lot of planning. So to do this, naturally, I needed to first come up with the list of my favourite works of art, which turned into a three-month exercise of talking to people and researching. I got up to about 100 pieces on the list, and that year I managed to travel the world and see 60 of them. Some, of course, were not being exhibited. Others were in private collections. But I did it, and I loved the self-indulgence of the exercise. It was something that was purely for me. In 2013, I also did something similar, but it was a lot more simple. I wanted to come up with experiences, things I wanted to do, things that I wanted to see in the world. And I came up with four things. I wanted to climb Table Mountain in Cape Town, and I did it twice via different routes. I wanted to get to the top and look out over the ocean above the clouds. I wanted to see the Northern Lights, and so I flew to Iceland, staying in the middle of nowhere and being called by the staff of the hotel whenever the Aurora Borealis appeared overhead, green and yellow, dancing in the night sky. I wanted to find and then photograph bioluminescent plankton, sort of makes the sea glow. And so I headed to the Indian Ocean, spending time on a couple of boats before settling on Kuramathi for a lecture on the topic, without actually getting to see any. And finally, I wanted to go to an Asian lantern festival, the kind that happen on a beach where people just put their wishes into paper lanterns that have candles attached and where the lanterns then float up and fill the sky. Although, when the damage to local wildlife was described to me, I crossed that one firmly off the list. But you get the idea. These were things I wanted to see that were extraordinary, outside of my day-to-day, and something like that I would experience. Stunning natural sights. Which, of course, brings me on to number 47, SVN 20 in 20, day 5, 26th of August 2020. It was as I looked out of the window of my Travel Lodge hotel room at the wild skies being dragged overhead by Storm Francis as rounded pink families waddled into the Toby Carvery in the adjacent lot for their eat-out-to-help-out discounted bucket of swill, that I thought to myself, shit, I need to fix this. The number of SVN races where I gave up after 10 miles or a half, including the Hobble Bobble in December, was on the exact route that I would be running the next day. I needed to fix this once and for all. I needed to fix it so I never needed to come back. It was the next morning at 7:30 a.m. and I was back in the old car park of the Cyclopark, Gravesend, before they built the shiny new one next to the shiny new sports centre. And as I looked around at those who had been running 20 marathons in 20 days, the Tears for Fears song came to mind. And no, not the running one. It was, "All around me are familiar faces, worn out places, worn out faces. Bright and early for their daily races, going nowhere, going nowhere. Their tears are filling up their glasses, no expression, no expression. Hide my head, I want to drown my sorrow. No tomorrow, no tomorrow. So why return to Gravesend? It's a mad world." I would be following JK, who ran at the weekend, and Crazy Baz, who ran on Monday, I seem to believe, in running what would be a second marathon or above in August. Things, perhaps, were getting back to normal, or the new normal, whatever the fuck that is. I had my temperature checked, and before you ask, no, it was not a rectal thermometer. It was one of those electronic laser ones that they point at your forehead to find out if you have space AIDS or not. There were no cups, but a lot of races do this anyway, and I had my collapsible cup in my bag, also taking a bag of squashies despite the efforts of Ricardo, who didn't put them in my weekend shop, and a bright yellow Ernst & Young cooler bag with ice packs in it, keeping two cans of drink cold for me. These races ordinarily start at 9, after the briefest of briefs, but with COVID and social distancing, it was decided by the organisers that they would then stagger the start from 8 till 9. Well, I was there at 7:30, and after stripping down and chatting with a few people, Travis, the race director, asked if he wanted to head out. It was 7:45. Now, I don't want to bore you with the race detail. It was 8 laps of 3 and a bit miles. It would be an elongated loop up one side of the cyclopark along hedged paths to a motorway bridge, across the bridge, across the next bridge, which is a railway bridge, down to a road, turn at a cone and go back across the bridges before down and onto a long there and back, making a U-turn at the end before heading to the start. It was the Gothic Challenge, it was Hobble Bobble or the Punk Run or the Bowie-themed Music Legends race. Just it would be in the summer, and there would only be about 30 runners. I got to halfway pretty quickly and easily. I was kind of buoyed by the idea that I was running yet again and being able to tick off races towards the 100 Marathon Club. Travis had now progressed to using an iPad to track the runners and the amount of laps they'd completed, rather than having a marshal punch a hole in your lap card. Each time I arrived at the turn, which was a garden gnome, I shit you not, with a buff around its head, he raised a finger. It was Yul Brynner in the Magnificent Seven counting up the recruits. Except he was at a pasting table, covered in large medals and jugs of squash. Lap 5 was the last one I was happy with. 6, I discovered that my new Coros running watch, one to replace the Garmin and the Polars that let me down so often, would allow me to create intervals on the fly. And so I created a 4-2-4-2, coincidentally Grimsby's best formation, and ran walked it in. I had already downed my 2 cans of drink and was now on the squash, feeling my fingers swell and resemble Wall's bangers, chatting with Travis at each turn and discovering that I had a lot of time and could, if I wanted, just walk the whole damn thing. And it was about 0.5 mile into lap 7, as I was finally losing the will, that I decided that I would do just that, head down grumpy, praying for a zombie apocalypse or a very precise asteroid strike for a whole lap before picking up my phone and heading out for one last hurrah in the cyclopark. But I do not think that the description, this description that I've given you, truly explores the horror of the day. So for more of this, and a first here on the 100 Marathon Club podcast, we will head over now to our roving reporter at the scene.
This is Darren Smith live for the 100 Marathon Club from the M2 motorway bridge just outside of Gravesend by the cyclopark. I have crossed this bridge 16 times today and it is fucking horrible. Back to you in the studio, Darren.
Thank you, Darren. That sounds horrible indeed. I hope it didn't give you nightmares. And that was it. I managed to head to Gravesend and complete another marathon, deciding that it would be my last there. They say that difficult roads lead to beautiful destinations, but this is not the case, or certainly not in this scenario. It was just too grim. I really didn't enjoy myself and hoped that the rest of the year would be much better. And of course, let's be honest, it couldn't be worse. Next up, the Vilnius Marathon.